mob-style hit. The information convinced police that Weiss had been kidnapped by the three men in the Cadillac and executed in a mob-style hit. Orozco says he and his partner, John Helvin, traced one of Weiss's close friends to Central Florida, where he'd moved immediately after the killing, and worked as a car salesman. In exchange for his anonymity, the salesman told the detectives that he knew that Weiss had run up more than $60,000 in gambling debts in Las Vegas. To make good on the debts, he'd begun flying to Las Vegas and delivering packages of cash laundered in Los Angeles, Orozco says. Each week, the money came in a brown paper package and was placed in the trunk of Weiss's Rolls-Royce, the salesman said. Weiss would then fly to Las Vegas and back on the same day. But the salesman said Weiss was skimming, stealing money from the deliveries, and had been caught and warned to stop. Orozco says detectives theorized that Weiss had not heeded the warning and was killed. They began tracking the phone records of Weiss and some of his associates. They documented connections to organized crime figures and went to Las Vegas and Newport Richey, Florida, to serve search warrants on the homes of people believed associated with the killing. Search fails. In Las Vegas, the detectives got a search warrant from local authorities, but the house they planned to search was empty on the morning they arrived. Orozco speculated that the suspect had been tipped off and moved out. In Newport Richey, things also went poorly. Orozco and Helvin arrived late one afternoon and drove by the house, which they planned to search the next day after obtaining a warrant from local authorities. The house belonged to a man suspected of being an enforcer with an organized crime family, Orozco says. The detectives noticed a boat in the canal out back and a black Camaro parked in front, indicating that the occupants had not been tipped to the search and were still living there. The next morning, Orozco says, he glanced out the window of his motel room and saw the same black Camaro in a parking lot across a canal next to the motel. A man was sitting behind the wheel of the car, watching the motel. "We flipped a coin to see who'd go out the door first," Orozco says. Helvin lost. They drew their weapons, and with Orozco covering, Helvin quickly went down to the lobby. Orozco followed, but by the time they got into a rental car, the black Camaro was gone. Orozco says he and his partner were turned down for the search warrant because they did not have enough evidence that the suspected enforcer had been involved in the Weiss killing. Orozco says he was paranoid when he returned to Los Angeles. Not knowing how information about their movements had gotten to the targets of the investigation, he and Helvin stopped talking about the case to some officers inside and outside the department. Orozco says that when a retired Los Angeles detective inquired about the case, he gave the man false information. A few days later, Orozco says, an organized crime informant called with the same wrong information. "We didn't talk to anyone after that," Orozco says. "We just came in, did our work, and went home. If I went out of town on the case, I only told my lieutenant." Orozco and Helvin continued to work full-time on the Weiss killing for 2 years. At least three men they investigated would become the victims of apparently unrelated slayings.